to have you guys hanging out with us on the Valley Outdoors. And we always like to have you check us out on thevalleyoutdoors.com. And where else?
Facebook.
Facebook. Like us, please. And, yeah, a lot of cool stuff on the website, especially now. You've got festivals and different DNR activities and seasons, everything you want. You can even look up. I did that this weekend. We're looking up fish size. So I was able to find out what regulations were, and it worked well. So I kind of teased at the top of the show an article that I had found recently, like really recently, regarding an angler who filed a federal lawsuit against the Pennsylvania Fish and Boat Commission, similar to DNR or Fish and Game or Fish and Wildlife, whatever you want to call it in your particular state. But he filed a lawsuit, and this is out of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. He wants to strike down state law that permits waterway conservation officers from entering private property without a warrant.
I'm surprised that they don't need a warrant.
That's the only law enforcement that doesn't. They have more jurisdiction capabilities, I guess that's the best way to put it, or more enforcement.
Yeah, they have
latitudes.
Yeah, I hear you.
According to the complaint filed on September 22nd in the U.S. District Court, this gentleman from Susquehanna County claimed the Fish and Boat Commission Waterway Conservation Officer entered his property multiple times in 2023 regarding alleged fishing violations that were later dismissed in court. The individual contends the searches are in violation of the Fourth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, even though state law permits waterway conservation officers to conduct general searches around homes without any restriction. Fish and Boat Commission Executive Director also is named as a defendant. Commissioner, Commission spokesperson said the agency does not comment in open litigation per agency policy. The gentleman who filed the lawsuit in this particular case is represented by the Institute for Justice, nonprofit public law firm. The complaint follows as such. According to the complaint, Thomas and his late wife, Stephanie, purchased a lakeside cabin in 2014. His wife was diagnosed with cancer in 2022, and Thomas placed several no trespassing signs around his cabin, which is at the end of a dirt road that is a private driveway for the residents.
Okay.
So it's posted.
Right.
The privacy afforded by the location of the cabin was important to the Thomases as Stephanie underwent cancer treatment. On May 13, 2023, Thomas's wife was home alone when she heard a loud knock at the door, which, unbeknownst to her, was this enforcement officer, according to the complaint. Since she was not ambulatory due to her cancer treatment, she did not answer the door. So, this individual walked to the rear of the cabin, knocked at the back door, stating, "I know you're in there, and I'm going to call the police." The complaint states that this officer photographed and searched the backyard, including Thomas's boat, which was at their dock, for evidence for potential fishing violations. The next day, Moon encountered the Thomases while they were pulled over on a road picking flowers, stating he had been chasing them and he would get to the bottom of things. On May 18th, this is 5 days later, Tim, this person, received a citation in the mail alleging he eluded an officer while fishing without a license.
What?
On June 14th, the County Commonwealth Court dismissed the charges. August 12th, Tim was fishing on Butler Lake. Moon was watching him through binoculars from the private property of a private hunting club, according to the complaint. He brought his boat back to shore. The conservation officer drove and parked 200 yards down the road from the cabin, walked to the end of Thomas' driveway, passed four no trespassing signs to the side of the cabin, passing a few feet of the bathroom window while his wife was taking a bath, per the complaint. Conservation officer approached Tim at the dock and accused him of fishing with eight rods in violation of the law. Tim informed Moon that he was trespassing and requested to move out to the road to continue the conversation. Complaint states that Moon informed Thomas he would be conducting an inspection and subsequently walked to the dock two more times, past a bathroom window, seizing eight fishing rods. Moon issued Thomas a citation for fishing with eight rods, which he denied, stating that he had six rods, three for fishing, and three for depth position devices. Citation was upheld during a court. He appealed and found not guilty during a trial. The complaint found he was less secure in the privacy of their cabin and property after his search, felt the rights were violated because it didn't consent to the entry and searches, nor did Moon have a warrant. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, they're being, like, hassled by this guy.
I don't get it. And then according to the complaint, they forbid unreasonable searches of a person's house, which extends to the home's area around the house. They call it curtilage. Warrantless entries and searches of a home are considered unreasonable, which the state law authorizes the commission through its officers to enter even private property without a warrant to enforce fishing laws. See, that's the part that you were wondering about. You're just like, okay, what in the world's with that? Protecting, preserving wildlife is important, but it doesn't mean the government is tasked with doing so. It can ignore the Constitution. So what he did to the Thomases, this conservation officer is both intrusive and unconstitutional. You don't lose your constitutional rights because you happen to live near a lake, and that's why searches, that's where we're challenging Pennsylvania law with the outrageous warrantless searches. And yeah, he's seeking to bar a permanent injunction barring Fish and Boat Commission from relying on a particular law to enter. Isn't that, that's just nuts. I mean, really. And not to mention the fact that his wife has got cancer on top of it, you know.
Right.
I don't know.
They're dealing with enough already as it is.
I would have to say that would be a bit of a problem.
I mean, it'd be completely different if this guy kept getting found guilty of things.
I know. Yeah. It sounds like they wanted to try and find something. They keep searching. Wow. Keep searching. Something that I was perusing through some different online publications and found this one. A new era of anti-hunting propaganda is seen in Michigan and other states. It's been almost 20 years since the last real bout with animal rights and anti-hunter groups in Michigan, in this particular case, the story coming out of, not counting on the wolf debate. In 2004, Michigan became the 41st state in the nation to legalize hunting of mourning doves, number one game bird. Despite the limited hunt and access, anti-hunting groups spent some $30,000 gathering signatures. I guess the surprising part for me with this whole thing is, you know, it's come up multiple times before, Ava, and when you look at what happens when you have this sort of thing go through, it just takes another notch out of the hunting opportunities because people get disillusioned with really the viewing of people. The harassment.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever gone to YouTube and watched some of these guys? They're fishing and they get harassed by different dock owners.
Yes.
Isn't that the craziest thing?
Yep.
So you know you go on it, go into YouTube sometime if you haven't had a chance to, and just type in fishing harassment. And sorry to use the term, but I'm going to. You'll have Karens. There's Karen guys. What's a guy Karen? Do you know?
I have no idea.
Okay. We'll just call a guy a Karen. Anyway, and somebody will be fishing outside their dock, not doing anything but fishing, and they'll come out and they'll start throwing rocks. They'll take a hose and start spraying them. And, of course, that's harassment as well.
Right.
So, you know, when you look at all the different varieties of harassment that can happen, it happened to me in the St. Croix River. I don't know. Have I ever brought that up before? So, St. Croix... right near Hudson, or actually that would be Mississippi, I think, right there, right? Isn't Hudson Mississippi still? No, that's St. Croix.
That's St. Croix.
And St. Croix. And I don't know where I lost my mind. Anyway, the river, that's same with Mississippi, basically. It's very close to the Mississippi River. It gets narrower in certain spots and channels, and this happened to be near Prescott. Well, there was a gentleman, I was fishing, and he came down river in his canoe with his daughter, it looked like. And I was fishing outside the dock in his docks area. I've always fished there. And it was near the main channel, just above the bridge. And I've been fishing there for maybe 5 minutes, and I've caught quite a few fish in that spot. So I was spot locked, meaning you hit the button, it holds, you're in a GPS position. I'm not doing anything but just sitting there. Proceeds to get out of the canoe, jump in the water, no less than 5 feet from me, and states, you know, you probably should get out of here. And I said, why is that? Because you're trespassing. And I said, well, that's interesting because it's free to fish. I can fish anywhere in the water with my boat. I'm not trespassing. No, that's not right. I said, well, what is right, and this is, people have to keep this in mind, if you are being harassed, you can't call the DNR because it is illegal to harass a fisherman or a hunter. And hunting season coming up, if somebody comes up to your deer stand and starts, you know, making noise, you ask them to stop. And if they don't stop, that is truly harassment of a hunting scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so it always surprises me when you look at the methodology behind, okay, I'm going to stop you from fishing, or I'm going to stop you from hunting, or how the, you know, we're going to make it illegal for you to do this. It's frustrating because, you know, it's been going, hunting and fishing have gone on forever. It's going to continue. But it's a matter of how the banning or eliminating of a hunting, whether it's mourning doves or it's turkeys or it's whatever it might be, how groups will try to eliminate it. So the point really comes down to, don't let that deter you. Let somebody know near you, you know, maybe somebody in the representative in your area, political representative in your area, let the DNR know, and they will do something about it because it is an offense. And that's one of those things that comes to mind. It's frustrating. And I had seen this article, and I wanted to bring up the other story about fishing as well, because you'll see it. If you go on YouTube, it's crazy what people will do. It mm-hmm. really is. They'll drive the boat. One guy was fishing, and the guy drove his boat into another boat, right up the back of the boat, rammed it.
Yeah, because that's worth it.
That's really, you know, that makes a lot of sense. How about not? So, yeah, not good. So I have one other story that I was trying to get to many times, and I'm glad I was able to hold off. This is crazy. A Montana man pleads guilty after creating a giant hybrid sheep and selling them for captive hunting.
What?
This individual conspired to violate and substantially violated the Lacey Act, and that's a Montana livestock ranch owner. He pled guilty. So the Lacey Act is a pretty serious violation. Pled guilty to running a scheme to create, breed, and sell giant sheep to be captive hunt for captive hunting facilities where they could ultimately be shot. So it's like a hunting farm.
It's like a farm, yeah.
Yeah. They announced that this particular person, I'm not going to use his name, pled guilty to conspiracy to violate the Lacey Act and violated it. The Lacey Act prohibits the interstate trade of wildlife that's been taken, possessed, transported, or sold in violation of federal state law, though it also prohibits the sale of wildlife that is falsely labeled. The law was created to combat wildlife tracking and to prevent the ecological invasion of injurious wildlife. So if something is invasive or otherwise. Okay, so this particular gentleman forged inspection certificates, legally obtaining genetic material from Rocky Mountain bighorn sheep in Montana. And then he cloned them. No joke. He cloned them. And he's going to face up to 5 years in prison for each felony count, yada, yada, yada. Well, guess what? Now we move forward. That was the story. Here's what happened. He got 6 months in prison for cloning giant sheep and breeding it. The, let's see, there it is. 81-year-old man from Montana sentenced Monday to 6 months in federal prison for illegally using tissue and testicles from a large sheep hunted in Central Asia and the U.S. to create a hybrid sheep for captive trophy hunting in Texas and Minnesota. U.S. District Court said he struggled to come up with a sentence for this individual. He said he weighed Shubar's age and lack of a criminal record with a sentence that would deter anyone else from trying to change the genetic makeup of creatures on Earth.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, because it's like, how... you don't have another case to go back on to, like, see what I should
do. Is that crazy?
Yeah, that's
okay,
crazy.
So think about it. You're trying to make this genetically superior sheep so people are going to go hunt it. Well, how in the world did you take that much time and not think that you were going to have, that somebody was going to say something?
Well, he knew that it wasn't okay because he's forging
documents
on him.
But that's what I'm getting at. So how can you actually think that you're not going to?
He's 81 years old.
Yeah, he's been around the block.
Yeah. What are you doing?
Well, not to mention the fact that it's the same thing you deal with right now. We're dealing with the big head carp thing. Do you know how that started? I don't know if I ever explained it.
No, but you got a minute.
Okay,
to tell
got a minute.
Me about it.
Perfect. Big head carp. They were actually used to eat algae, etc., from ponds that were along the Mississippi River for tilapia. And they raised fish to have for food. Fish sticks, right? Well, guess what happens? That's an exotic species. It was not a native fish.
Right.
And once the river flooded, guess what happens to the pond?
It floods.
Goodbye. Game over. What happens if someone, one of those escapes into wherever, as far as the sheep goes? Bighorn sheep?
I know.
You've got the who knows what. It's not a natural breed. It's something completely different.
That's so crazy.
Is it not?
It's,
I mean, that's almost
crazy.
Like the, with the island of Dr. Moreau.
Yeah.
The experimentation with
Frankenstein.
People. Yeah. Oh.
But not. But
Frankensheep. It's Frankensheep. Well, speaking of leaving on a high note, Frankensheep is it. I hope you guys
we'll
have
be
a
back next week.
I hope you guys have a fantastic weekend. Enjoy the outdoors, and we'll see you next week.